If you want to have permission to live in peace, joy, and abundance, and to have a strategy and the inner authority to create all of this, as well as your purpose, then you want to stay tuned for this episode with Emma Dunwoody. Hey there, my friend, it's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. Welcome, welcome to another episode of Charmed Life Podcast. I'm your host. Of course, I'm Trisha Carr, and I am super excited to bring to you this episode. This episode has the wonderful Emma Dunwoody, who is a human design expert, master coach, behavioral specialist, and the host of the number one global human design podcast. I'm loving the conversation that we had. And in case you are new to this podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I should let you know that I am a reflector, and that's a part of what we talk about in our conversation. Emma is an emotional manifesting generator, 3-5 profile. I'm a 5-1 profile, I should mention. And so that's some of the perspectives that we're adding into the conversation here. We talk about really beautiful topics such as the emotional solar plexus or just emotions, where we're going with our new paradigm as we are shifting, as we are moving very fast in everything in our world. And we just break down, well, Emma breaks down the beauty of human design and how it actually is both a personal development and spiritual development tool, how it can help us to create abundance, to manifest, to live authentically. That is a big, important part of Emma's work. Let me tell you a little bit more about Emma. Emma wakes people up to the power within them using her unique method of transformational human design, a system of self-knowledge and guidance unlike anything else that exists. Her vision is to take human design mainstream so it becomes more widely accepted than any other global profiling, behavioral, or healing system. She believes it will transform personal development, education, and business forever. Emma wants to inspire everyone to unlock their inner wisdom, take their power back, and feel deeply confident in the decisions they make. This will create a population that values themselves and courageously lives their truth, which will deliver to us a new paradigm of peace, joy, and abundance. As we head into this episode, I want to make sure that you do like, subscribe, share, comment if you're watching on YouTube, or of course, to leave a review of the podcast and share it with someone. I want to encourage you to do that right up front. I want to also encourage you to check the show notes for Emma's links, as well as a few other things that are mentioned in the podcast, including a special gift that I have for you, which is my Animal and Nature Intuitive Connection, which is a free mini course. So without further delay, welcome to this powerful, beautiful, joyful, and abundant conversation with Emma Dunwoody, and I'll chat with you on the other side. Emma, I am beyond excited to connect with you today. So many delicious things, and I'm going to try not to keep you for 5 hours. Although you could go that long, I think, especially yeah. About these things that we're so excited and passionate about. So welcome, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for gracing this space with your beautiful light.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for having me, Trisha. I'm so excited to talk to you. I love chatting to you. I feel like you are a treasure chest of awesome stuff. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. There are so many people who are in the human design space now, and that's great. It's fantastic, right? It's so fantastic. I don't think we mentioned this. I actually initiated started my experiment. Well, no, it was initiated, learned about human design in April of 20, of 2019. And like we typically do, we're like, we leave it for a bit, right? I heard you recently say you left it for like three times and Well, when I first, it was actually here in my studio, someone who had been in my class, and she's like, "What's your human design?" She was my friend's friend, and she, looked it up, and she's like, "Oh, you're a reflector." I'm like, "What is that?" And she showed me my chart after having shown my friend's chart to me, and I said, my response was, "So I'm not even a person?"
Ouch.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. Yeah, anyway. So I'm super excited to, I mean, I want to talk about some of the things that you're really passionate about. The audience of my podcast have been hearing me talk about it after I stopped rejecting it and I really got to go into it and find so much value in it. It really has to be a part of all of my work now. Even to some clients who I have a sense they're just not going to do the experiment, or at least not now, I still talk to them about these things as values that will help them. And so a lot of, I would say my audience, I think they have, we don't have to start with the beginner stuff if you don't want to, but let's talk about some of the things that you're super excited about right now, and whether that's human design or in other ways, about, this mission that you're on.
Well, I like the mission, that's a big part of who I am. And I suppose human design ultimately has given me so much permission to be me. Like ever since I was tiny, I can remember thinking, okay, I have to leave the world better than I found it, And as I started to unpack my design, understanding I'm a line five, I'm like, oh, wow, there it is. Like, yeah, I need to have a big impact. That's why I'm on planet Earth. So I think the biggest thing for me is that all the speed humps or the walls I have collided into throughout my life. One of the things I learned really early on is like, God, the meaning that I attribute to this is so important. So it became this, whether it was being diagnosed with depression and panic disorder, whether it was changing careers from the advertising career to become a master coach, whether it was, even having children or, dealing with all the stuff going on in my marriage years ago, all the things, right? One of the things that I realized really early on was like, if I can work out how I got to this point, then I can work out how to do it better. I can heal my mental health, for example, or I can, do things better. So it kind of goes back to that quote, that Socrates qu quote, know thyself. And I was actually a profile. I am still a profiler, meaning that I'm certified in a number of different behavioral and personal profiling tools. And what was really exciting about that was I could help people unlock what was inside of them, as opposed to them trying to shove themselves into a box and call that success and feel really icky on the inside, which was my experience. Even to the point that I had healed my mental health and I'd, can change careers and I'd retrain, I'd started my own business, and like I ticked all the boxes and I still felt empty inside. I'm like, well, why don't I feel better? And two of the biggest, most important things that I've kind of chased early on, but now cultivated and grown and evolved, has always been purpose and abundance. Like these are the things that really have been so fascinating to me. And that moment, and I think it was 2018, there was this moment I'm like, well, shouldn't I feel better? I've completely changed my life. And that's when human design appeared for me. And it was about purpose. I was like, universe, I can see that I've done all this work towards my purpose, meaning that I'm now a master coach, I have this successful business, but there's something missing. And that thing, and it was, delivered to me in no uncertain terms by the universe. And I promised the universe that I would do this experiment. And well, that hole inside of me, that gap, that missing piece was filled in. And ultimately, I think the thing with human design that I'm most passionate about is what I call authentic success. And that means success in all areas of your life. You know, that is that ability to go all out and be you. It's that thing that people will often say to me, God, Emma, you're so confident. And I'm like, well, I am, but I don't think I'm confident the way you think I'm confident. I'm actually confident because I just know who I am. I know who I am and I know who I'm not. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, aligning to my design, so aligning to my authentic self, my heart, my soul, has given me success in all areas of my life. And, you know, really on a deep level, like I'm going through some really challenging things in my life right now, I get to kind of sit back and go, wow, how can I, like, the way I'm navigating through these big challenges, this is epic, like epic, how, this is cool. And I think one of the large parts of that is because I trust myself, I love myself, I accept myself, I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. I've got places that I can dive into my human design and go, okay, well, if I'm talking about relationships or if I'm talking about business or if I'm talking about grief, there's certain places I can go. And it just helps me self-coach, self-soothe, move through things instead of, you know, turning to unresourceful things or trying to be someone I'm just not. So I feel like that's a really long answer to your question.
I love it. Well, you mentioned permission, and that is something that human design is. I know some, I think even Ra Uruhu, who is the founder of human design, we were complaining about it before we hit record, lovingly.
Yeah. Crazy human. So brilliant, but crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And, but you know, I think he said, like, it's not a, he says he's not a mystic and he's not a spiritual person and that it's not a spiritual development tool. And maybe it's not, a personal development tool. Maybe it's not a spiritual development tool. It's more of a correction, because we've probably been conditioned away from what is true and natural and authentic for ourselves. And it is helping us, it gives us permission to realign with that, which then will naturally give way to personal and spiritual development. That's what it probably is the case. What do you think about
Well, I love this. And straight away, like, welcome to Emma, because I'm going to challenge it. I think Ra's wrong.
Like, outright on that. Right? Well, it has to be a spiritual development tool because it has spiritual tools synthesized in it. So,
and we can't, like, if we're here in this meat suit, we can't avoid spiritual development. So everything that we do to grow is part of our spiritual development. You know, it's that thing that I heard you talking about, like our personal development is our spiritual development and our spiritual development is our personal development. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to the guys from FLFE who are amazing. I've had them on the podcast a few times. We're talking about consciousness. And, you know, one of their principles is business as a spiritual practice. Yeah. So they run their business as a spiritual practice. So I actually think it is. And it's also, for me personally, it's why I've created transformational human design, where I've integrated human design, the gene keys, because I think the gene keys are the thing that gives us the pathway. Yeah. I actually heard Richard Rudd and my original mentor in human design, Kim Gould, talking about this, and they were talking about how, you know, human design is the skeleton. You know, it's almost the masculine. It's the skeleton. And then the gene keys is the flesh and the muscles and the feminine. And because at the end of the day, there has to be a journey. Like, we're humans. We can't just be stagnant. It can't be nothing. And for me also, because I'm a behavioral coach, I'm like, well, wow, I'm going to get this whole human design thing integrated with my supercomputer, meaning my brain, my unconscious mind, so that I can know this greatest potential. I don't want to sit around on my hands for 7 years and just be like, doo, 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 I'm waiting for my deconditioning to happen. Oh, like, screw that. That's kind of not my jam. You know, I'm an MG. I like to move fast, even though I have emotional authority. So just quietly, that's just like, that messes with my head and gives me full permission to be, it's okay. For me, I think it is. I think it's very much something that, you know, tells us the truth and gives us the opportunity to step into our potential, to face our fears, and to do all the stuff that so often we hire coaches to do. And I really believe we can do it ourselves through a lot of the models that, that are out there.
Well, I think we only ever do it ourselves, right? Because a coach can tell you, can say something. I've always said learning is just remembering what it is that you've already, that your soul already has access to, resource of, or experienced. It's only just remembering or reminding, meaning changing your mind to include that wisdom and knowledge. And so, yeah, a coach is only a coach, a healer, a teacher is really just holding space for you and believing in you, holding a torch, if you will, for you to move toward, for you to do your coaching, for you to do your healing, for you to do your own. Yeah. So
yeah, couldn't agree more.
I love the Gene Keys. They're just, I mean, Richard Rudd, either he is a genius. I mean, he is a genius in order for it to have come through him, but what an incredible gift. It is so deep, rich, thorough, and it is about our genealogy. It's phenomenal. So if y'all haven't gotten into the Gene Keys yet, that it's so attuning. If you just listen to like the ones that are in your hologenetic profile, but I love listening to all of them. I say listen because I read them. I read them by listening on my
way to walk. Yeah, me too.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, me too. So, and I agree, totally agree. I think the thing with the Gene Keys is if you're relatively new to human design and you pick up the Gene Keys, they can be overwhelming. However, all I say is like stick with it. All you're looking for or all you're feeling for is resonance. That's the way I kind of teach it. It's like just listen. I listen as well. Just listen or read and just wait for that feeling in your body of, ooh, that's true. That resonates for me. Because inevitably you'll be blown away by the things that resonate with you because you're like, wow, that's my deepest heart speaking there, you know, my deepest part of my soul. So, yeah, I think it's very powerful stuff.
And we will be right back. Hello, Charmed Life listener. It's Trisha, and I am making a special invitation for you to Sacred Sphere. This is a bi-monthly communal learning, practice, and resonance space. It is your community for intuition, manifestation, and spiritual development. It's happening twice per month, and there are special benefits if you subscribe so that you can go to every one of these or see the replays. It is a place for your deep, immersive healing and your powerful manifestation practice to unfold in your life. I'm so excited about this. The vision for this is large and wonderful. We're going to be changing our own lives, and I believe we're going to be changing the world. So check it out. The link is in the description. We can't wait to work with you, to see you, to love you there. Empowered Empath. This is a program designed for the sensitive soul, for the person with that empathic nature. And by the way, that is a healing ability. However, this is a healing ability that you can't turn off. You cannot turn off your empathic nature because it's more than just a psychic or healing ability. It is also how you are designed. So the Empowered Empath is a powerful program that is also gentle, consists of 4 modules with 8 life-altering lessons, 4 aura tuning meditations, and we have bonus group healing and coaching sessions that are coming up really soon. You definitely want to check the show notes so you can see when those are coming up. You have access to it for a whole year. You'll be able to continue to water the garden of your empathic nature. You'll learn how to feel centered and peaceful as a sensitive person, how to use your gifts as a superpower that they are meant to be, and you'll be receiving attunement and healing and new life strategies to live in the power and purpose of your sensitive nature. It's especially tailored for those who want to turn their empathic and sensory overwhelm into intuitive strength. It is immersive yet very gentle program, and it's suitable for all levels of development. And I especially recommend it for those whose human design body graph reveals that they have an undefined emotional solar plexus. So if you are just ready to turn that sensitive sponging into the thing that we really need right now, we need your sensitive genius shining on this planet to be in the high frequency, high functioning of your sensitive superpower. So join Empowered Empath. You have access to the lessons starting right away. Oh, by the way, it's very affordable and even comes with payment plans. Only $177 for all of this content, and you can make a payment plan of 3 months or 6 months. I made it extremely affordable and accessible because I know what it's like to need the help. So if it's your first time of really healing your empathic nature, or you need to do it another time, this is the program for you. I can't wait to see you there. And now back to the show. It's really funny too, because I'm just going through just the last couple of days listening to my, just the ones in my incarnation cross. And it's so funny. I'm like, it's basically like saying my name, like every part of it is saying my name. It's wild. Yeah. Now, when we first get initiated into human design and we reject it, it's because we're so led by the mind. Yeah. And even I was like, well into a spiritual practice, and I still couldn't, it took a while for it to create resonance. Oh, I have to tell you something though, Emma, it's so interesting. 2 weeks before I was introduced to human design, never heard the word before, I actually had an astral dream where I was shown basically what it's like to be, and it didn't even dawn on me until 6 months after learning human design. So the astral dream, I was like, I was interacting with someone who was actually in my life, who was kind of an abusive friend, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the dream went that, this person was trying to convince me or compel me to go do something I didn't want to do. And that she was emitting this dark green, murky energy. And that what I did was I took it into myself fully. And then they, after it was like the astral dream, then they kind of put me in a classroom and they said, but that's not what you're supposed to do. If someone offers you something, you just take a part of it and then you let it go. Basically explaining sampling to me.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. I love that.
So it took me like 7 months to realize that that was even, you know, I was about to be introduced to, hey, look, you need to learn how your aura actually works. So
yeah, so powerful. So powerful. And I think that resistance piece, like I've got a theory through my own personal experience and, you know, now working with thousands of people with human design, is I actually think in my experience is that, because I resisted human design too, and it dawned on me one day, all the specific areas of my chart that I resisted the most were all the bits of myself I resisted the most.
Yeah.
So the things that I shamed myself for, that I criticized myself for, all the things, they were the bits that I didn't like about my chart. So I think in so many cases, when we have that initial resistance to the chart itself and to human design, it's often just a reflection of exactly what's going on inside of us. Like we're resisting ourselves. We're resisting being authentic because we're afraid, you know, we won't be loved or we won't be good enough or whatever it is. So yeah, that's my theory on that.
Yeah. And also because the mind is so, I have a friend who, I don't give readings like just, oh, here's your chart reading. It's just a part of the work that I do. And which is great because then I'm giving it a little bit to people. And that's what it's an experiment. And the unfortunate thing is our conditioning says that we just learn something. You know, I always use this example. I had to memorize the states and capitals and I got 100% on that test. And I forgot the very next day, like, cause I didn't have an experience of it. I remembered sounds and symbols, but I know that Sacramento is the capital of California because I have a sense of Sacramento. I have an experience of it. It's in my body. I have an experience. I've experimented with Sacramento. So the thing is that we hit it with the mind and with the intention. We think that the strategy that's correct is to learn everything. And then, you know, you often get the feedback, well, I looked into it, but it's just so overwhelming, you know, because you can't eat all the meals in one day. So, but do you have the experience, since you have so much experience and you have readers and everything who work and coaches, how do you, that people first coming into it, I mean, that's pretty much it. People have to get over that hurdle of thinking they're going to learn it all in 1 hour or something, right? And that's the way it works.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things to understand is that not very many people are conscious that they just learn and it stays in their head. They're not actually conscious of that. You know, one of my favorite moments is, and it happens especially on my mastermind because it's a small group of people. You know, we meet every week and it's this moment. And I had this exact same moment where I was like, oh my goodness, I think my feelings. I don't feel my feelings. I think my feelings. And it's like that dawning moment that you're like, oh my God, I'm not even feeling my feelings. And I think that so many people, when they come to human design, they're learning the knowledge. They're like, exactly like you say, they're rote learning it. But at the end of the day, human design is an experiment. It's the whole point. And you know, that's the most important thing in any of my communities is, like, I have models for experimenting, making sure that people are getting results, you know, taking imperfect action, like doing all of these things, because no one knows until they've tried it out, until they've tried it on. And even though I might be the expert, like that's what it says in my job title, I'm not the expert in you. I'm the expert in me. I'm the expert in the things that I've learned and studied and practiced and coached. I'm the expert of my experience, absolutely, and the knowledge that I've gained, but you're the expert of you.
Yeah.
And I think that so many people get really trapped in human design, in the dogma, in the knowledge. Yeah. It's something that I'm always banging on about, because you can't. And you also need to be aware that it's not going to just happen at the beginning. It's something you have to be conscious of the whole time. Like, I just had this experience in my mastermind last week where one of my projectors, she's like at this point and she felt really stuck. And I was like, dude, you have to just take imperfect action. You used to like clean up in a corporate environment. You were successful at this, blah, 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 blah. And she just had this moment of like, oh my God, I've just been sitting on my hands because I'm a projector. You know, like I've disengaged my heart from the things that I'm passionate about because I thought I should behave a certain way instead of listening to my heart, experimenting with my design. You know, she's a person who has, although she's a projector with only two defined centers, one of them's the will center, and she has all of these gates activated in her root center and reaching to her root center. So that thing's going to be turned on probably most of the time. So she's a projector that has a lot of energy, a lot of drive, a lot of willpower, a lot of I want this and I want to have this impact and I want to do that. So she disconnected from that inner passion that's hers, that's consistently there because of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And the most beautiful thing, and I just listened to the message again this morning and it so made me smile. The message that I got 2 days after the session was, oh my God, Emma, like you've changed my life again. You know, this coaching has changed my life. I'm like, yes, because we can't get attached to anything. That's the whole point. We can't be attached to our design. In our identity from a behavioral point of view, it has to be fluid. You know, like if your identity is too rigidly attached to the work that you do or the relationship that you're in or the clothes that you wear, the day those things don't turn up for you, the day those things end, you're going to fall in a heap. So it's really understanding, like, let's not be attached to those things. Let's experiment. Let's discover what's true for us and get closer to our heart, our soul. Because ultimately, in my opinion, that's what human design is about, getting us close to our heart and our soul and trusting it. And ultimately, the goal would be that you don't even reference your human design at all. Mm-hmm. You get to a point that you just trust your strategy and authority. You know those energies that are within you. You know, in your case, I'm just following what feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, then there's feedback here. And we're just living our life in this way. So it's not actually about, like, human design is the tool, it's the pathway, it's the map to get access to the treasure, but we are the treasure. And once we get to know the treasure well, then it becomes an unconscious thing that we just be all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have never, you know, in reflector communities like a reflector Facebook group, you can see reflectors getting too heady about the lunar gates. And, you know, there would be a beautiful experience of locking yourself away for 2 months, or you know, with absolutely nothing but experiencing the you know, your own pure aura and the moon. That would be amazing. That I couldn't live a whole life that way, but maybe sometime I'll do that. But I definitely, and I've never done this, I've never gotten like analytical about the lunar gates. The only time, every now and again, I feel drawn to go, I wonder what gate we're in right now because I'm feeling this. And, you know, I'm just a bit curious about it. But, you know, as a reflector, every 6 hours to be like, woo, 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 like that would be nuts. My mind, my head would definitely try to hijack that so much.
Yeah.
But one friend with close, works with me as well. And she was like, in the morning she was like, are you going to do this or that with this, you know, this person? And I was like, oh, I'm not sure yet. I'll tell you later. Cause she had to cancel it for me. And then like 2 hours later, I was like, you know what? Yeah. Cancel that. I'm done. And she goes, whoa, that's so different. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you were like earlier, like, so not sure. And now just a little bit later, you're like so clear. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then so I went and looked. I was curious. And yeah, the gate had changed. The lunar gate had changed. But it's natural to me. You know what I mean? Like, so exactly. Her pointing it out, all of this is natural to us, is my point. You know, you don't have to try. Trying is the not doing,
no.
The not being.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And it's like one of the things with reflectors, and I do tend to work with a lot of reflectors. You know, if I didn't understand that, you know, we create our own reality and attract who we are and all of those things, I'd be like, the statistics are out. there are a lot more reflectors because in my world, there are so many, you know.
There's a lot fewer generators in my world because I have projectors and manifestors all over the place. So anyway,
And I think one of the things that I talk a lot to reflectors about is, because I don't agree, I don't think that that's serving you either, because it's just a mental attachment.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I always recommend, and this is a lot of the way that I recommend working with your design, is looking to the past. So, you know, you might look at the past and go, oh, I made that a really good decision. When was that? So you'd go back and go, oh, look, the sacral was turned on. So then you can make an association in the body and go, that's what the sacral feels like.
Yeah.
It's not like on this day, in this moment, this degree is going to flip into this gate, therefore I should feel that. Because that's all mental stuff.
Yeah.
But when we look backwards and we say, oh, I felt this way, what was happening? Oh, that's what the spleen feels like.
Yeah.
Or that's what gate 48 feels like. Because then you have a learnt experience that you can anchor in, and that's really the guide. You know, I always say to reflectors, like, do it for a month in reverse. So just like at the end of the day, go, you know, kind of just go through, okay, I felt this. But don't do it all the time, because otherwise you're actually missing the juice of life. Like, your whole point is to be sampling life. At the end of the day, does it feel good or does it not feel good? Like, that's what you have to be paying attention to. And, you know, being a reflector, you are amplifying everybody else's energy. Your superpower is in the subtle energy. So you want to be in tune with that subtle energy. So you don't want to be in your mind, because your mind is not subtle energy. It's loud and it's you know, big and all of those things. So really being able just to anchor in, oh, that's what that feels like. Great. Yeah. Good to know.
Right. Totally. And you just did a really great episode on the solar plexus, the emotional solar plexus. And I, by the way, I don't know if you had a reflector talk to you about this, the way that you, you know, when you describe your process for making decisions because you have the defined emotional solar plexus, it's really different than how a reflector, honestly, it doesn't necessarily feel like a long time, and it doesn't feel like flip-flop. It just feels like, you know, sometimes it isn't a full month because I've already had a month or two or something in another iteration. I just didn't know I was already working through it. You know what I mean? Like, it's all over the place in that regard. I love with your, everyone should listen to the solar plexus episode, because it is about all of us, because approximately 50% is defined and approximately 50% is undefined. And you talked about responsibility and compassion both ways. And that has made all, that is so true. So I am obviously undefined because I'm a reflector, and my husband is defined. And I commented on your on Instagram about it. That was the thing that really got me to a whole new place, was to just be like, it's okay to be uncomfortable. But if I try to run away from it because it's uncomfortable, or if I try to fix him and or get frustrated or anything like that, then it's just, you know, and it's, we do need to both take responsibility of our experience, because yes, as the defined, there is either repression or indulgence. Would you open up that topic a little bit? Because you're just so brilliant and wise and passionate about it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. I've had so much feedback on that episode. And I think it's because we always, it's almost like there's a lot of pity on the non-emotionals. Like, oh, you poor buggers. How do you put up with those emotional people? And I think in many cases, I felt that.
Yeah.
However, what I wasn't being really honest about is how bad I felt about it. Like, I'm doing the best I can, and I take full responsibility for my emotions now. I didn't when I was younger. I repressed them when I was younger. Then I indulged them in my early 20s, ended up, you know, with mental health issues in my experience and in my opinion, that had a lot to do with it. And what I really, it kind of really hit me in real time a couple of weeks ago, where I hit the deepest emotional low that I've felt in the longest time. And meanwhile, I was also mid running masterclasses and launching my HDX, which is my membership community, doing all the things. And all of a sudden, I had all this grief hit me. I was in the lowest of lows. And I was taking some downtime. I was sitting on the couch with Taylor, who works with me, helps me run the business. And one of our beautiful coaches who was there, helping us out, she walked into the room and she went, oh my God, I feel like I want to poke my own eye out. What's going on in here? And instantly in the moment, I was like, oh my God, fuck, that's me. Shit. And so sorry about my language.
That's all right.
Terrible potty mouth.
No, that's all right. We have an explicit rating.
Amazing. Perfect. And in that moment, I just got this like, oh my God, here we are giving all of this compassion to the non-emotionals, yet I have just gone into a spiral because I'm in my, like, the deepest low I've ever been in, and I've just made it worse on myself because I feel bad about how I'm making someone else feel. Now, this particular human, obviously she's all over human design. She gave me a massive hug. She's like, oh my God, I love you so much. Then she went for a walk and, you know, kind of got out of my aura. So, you know, she took responsibility in that moment, you know, to do something about it. But the thing is that we really have to understand that I don't think we talk enough about the impact of being emotional. That one of the things for me, another person said to me a couple of weeks earlier, they're like, well, you should just be able to push through because you've got a defined will center and a soul and a sacral and da, da, da. And I'm like, I don't think you get how tiring it is being defined. So, you know, in the solar plexus, like I can't function when I'm in a low. I can't. Like, I was actually sitting on the couch the other day because I have a couch in my office, and I was talking to T and she was asking me questions, and she's just like, are you going to fall asleep right here? And I'm like, oh, I very much could. And because it's the emotions, you know, like, I can coach all day as an MG. I've got so much energy, but my entire life is designed in sprints because that's the way my energy works. I work 3 days a week. I work long days. I love it, but I need this massive downtime. And I don't think we talk about that enough with the defined solar plexus. Like, we need the compassion to go both ways. Cause I think in so many cases, in human design, we find out that we're emotional and all of a sudden we're taking responsibility. Okay, well, I'm not going to indulge it. I'm not going to repress it. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to be conscious when someone comes into my aura, you know, da-da-da-da, doing all the things. And then non-emotional people are kind of like, oh, you make me feel shit. I'm like, no, it's not something I'm doing to you. This is my energy. So if you love me, this is part of who I am. Yeah. And I think that that's the conversation, you know, and the conversation also needs to be like, we need to be really compassionate for the non-emotional people because it is big and it's amplified. And in so many cases, it also gets in the way of other people's, that, you know, their non-emotional's authorities. Like, they can't even hear their authorities as much when they're amplifying these big emotions. So at the end of the day, what's so important is that we understand that we do not know. We have a really good idea of how the others feel, especially with human design. However, we don't know. We don't know exactly what's going on inside that human at that moment. We don't know what's just happened to them or what they're going through. We don't know how those, you know, whatever the emotion is, you know, amplifying within them, you know, or what they're thinking or how they're speaking to themselves or what's just happened 2 minutes before. We have no idea. So I just think it's something that we need to be a lot more compassionate about because the solar plexus is incredibly powerful. We're in this time where it's changing and, you know, we're going through this mutation. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of human design people talk about the solar plexus mutation, but does anyone really know what it is? Because I've been trying to find out exactly what it is because that's this part of me that's like, yeah, but I want to get to the core. Like, what's the bottom of it? And ultimately, what I've discovered is that the solar plexus is here to help us all learn how to feel.
Yeah.
You know, and not be beholden to our emotions, to actually allow them to become our guide. So moving out of this mind place, out of this like survival into this feeling, this depth of awareness that is more about, you know, taking that, the feeling path and not making things right, wrong, good or bad, actually just allowing yourself to move through whatever the feeling is, allow the feeling to guide you. Because ultimately that's the world we're moving to. We're moving out of this mental awareness. We're moving out of the survival awareness into this place where we want to be close to spirit consciousness, to the way we feel, and allowing those subtle energies to guide us. We have to mutate this whole, like, the big emotions that kind of that override everything, that get in the way, that what's the word I'm looking for? That, you know, like, they can be really challenging, but that's all shifting and changing. So the first thing I think we really need to do is really love, trust, and accept ourselves as we are, no matter whether we are emotional or non-emotional, and really be compassionate for the other, because whatever we feel because of our definition is very different to the other. So if we can be compassionate and hold space for each other with that, then I think that we're going to navigate to this big change in a way where, okay, I'm not letting my emotions drive, because it's kind of like we're moving out of this time where we've let fear drive, and now we're in this time where we're letting emotion drive. Like, you can see all the chaos in the world, like everyone has all these big feelings, but we need to like almost just tune them in better. Like, okay, so we're not indulging, we're not repressing, we're not using them to get what we want. We're actually like, oh, these subtle, these emotions, these feelings are here to guide us in a deeper way. So we just have to kind of navigate through this messy time.
So much good stuff there. You know, one thing I think that is maybe misstated is, you know, we would say, oh, the openness is most vulnerable to conditioning, but the undefinition can condition the definition. It just can. If you have like open centers or undefined centers around a defined center, it will kind of bully it in a way, in a manner of speaking. I have to share you, I have a client who is an emotional manifester, and she was just starting her experiment, and she was telling me about a dream that she had where there was this dark cloud, and it was really scary, and it was like, come in. She wasn't really afraid of it, but she was trying to protect. She has two parents and two siblings. She was trying to protect one of her parents and one of her siblings from it, and the other two weren't involved in it. And so I was intuitively interpreting it. I was like, that's your emotional wave that you are trying. And I said, do you know about that parent and that sibling? Are they undefined? And she didn't know. She had to go back and look. Turned out they were. The other two that she was not protecting were defined. And the two who were undefined, she was working so hard to protect them from her wave, from her emotions.
Yeah.
So that was to me, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Undefinition can definitely condition or influence definition. Yeah.
And I think, like, do you know, because I have two children who are undefined in the solar plexus. Yeah. So, you know, that's a really big thing for me, because I'm like, God, you know, like if I hit the wall, I hit the wall, you know, like I can't not hit the wall. Like, I can do all the correct things as in, you know, not indulge, not suppress. And one of the things that I've done with my kids is I've taught them not to be responsible for my emotions, you know, and I've taught them to communicate. You know, I was just talking to my youngest the other day, like asking him about my emotions and how they make him feel. And, you know, does he feel like he's free to either stay in the room or leave the room and blah, blah, blah. Like, just have all these conversations around it, because at the end of the day, I'm always going to feel them. Yes, I've definitely improved them. And when they were younger, I'm like, sorry, didn't know what I didn't know. However, we have to just be more conscious of that, because otherwise, like, we're just repressing them. We're just trying to hold them in and not, you know, influence people, not like put that stuff onto people. Even the, like, I'm really good with my emotions. However, you know, they can feel uncomfortable even if they're great emotions. One of the things I see a lot is, you know, a lot of people reflect back my enthusiasm, my joy, my excitement, you know, like all of my high emotions. So, you know, like there's, and that sometimes could be exhausting for people, you know. There was actually a part of, you know, I remember when I walked the Camino the first time, I had this real awareness that my happiness and my joy can be really off-putting to people sometimes. And again, I believe that that's part of the solar plexus for me. Mm-hmm. So I really think that it's a two-way street. It's always a two-way street, because having a defined solar plexus, you can feel guilt. You can feel guilt that you're making people feel a certain way, but actually you're not. It's like they, you know, undefined people also have the choice of what they make that mean. You know, like, do you make that mean that person's really uncomfortable to be around, or do you make that mean, oh my God, I love that human so much, that must be challenging to go through? You know, because when you feel that it's something that's affecting you and you make a part of your problem, then it's attached to your identity, it gets even more uncomfortable for you. But if you're compassionate and understanding and you don't identify with the energy, meaning that you're like, oh, it's theirs and oh, I can feel for you, then it's not as sticky. It'll move through you. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, it's not as uncomfortable. And I know for me, like the people who are the closest to me, especially like, you know, I work with Taylor often in the same space all the time. She's undefined and she doesn't even notice. But it's because what she does feel, she's like, oh, that's Emma's. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. So it's only ever compassion or just letting it move through her. So it doesn't have to be really uncomfortable, and the responsibility has to go both ways. It's not just with the emotional people.
Absolutely. And remember, we have to remember that the word responsibility is your ability to respond. And so it's all about presence. And the moment I'm feeling uncomfortable because my husband is having some intensity, that's okay. It's not really and truly a threat to me. It doesn't, in this moment, I'm not actually threatened. It's a tension, but that's okay. I have one friend and both of the parents are undefined, and they have a 2-year-old who is 36/20 Manny Jen with an emotional wave. And I'm like, when she was born, I was like, you'll be okay. Our household has an emotional wave and we're fine.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it goes both ways. Like, I'm undefined in the spleen, you know, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that's been a really big player for me is, you know, my husband, he has a defined spleen. He's in a splenic projector. And he's just like, he's a bucket of fear, you know, like, although he doesn't think he's afraid of anything. I feel it, and I'd never had an issue with fear really, mm-hmm. Until I lived with someone with this spleen all the time. Like, I can't even look at him. If we watch a scary movie, I can't look at him. Like, it's so uncomfortable. But having said that, what I have done in turn is I've gone, right, well, this is never going to change because I'm always going to be in and out of defined spleens. I'm always going to be, you know, feeling other people's fear. So what can I do about it? Yeah. So one of the biggest journeys for me is learning to feel the fear and do it anyway, to lean into it, to identify, oh, well, that's not mine. Like, I went through a stage of being afraid of flying until I realized that it's just everybody else's fear that I'm feeling. And once I'm like, it's not mine, I feel sweet, I'm fine with flying. I was fine when I was about to get on the plane, and I'm fine now. So I don't feel that fear anymore because mm-hmm. it's not part of my identity. Like, I can sometimes, like, I'll sometimes get a flash of like the plane blowing up on the bloody tarmac or something, but it's like, I know it's not mine. So I don't indulge in it. I don't try and fix it. I don't try and push it away. I'm just like, my standard response is I'm sending love to whoever is feeling that way. I'm sending love. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to be stuck in everybody else's fear bubble. I've worked so hard not to be experiencing a ton of fear all the time. Like, I've got huge boundaries. I don't watch any mainstream media. I don't partake in fear conversations. You know, like, fear is something for me that I'm so, you know, tight boundaries on. I want resourceful fear in my life. You know, I want the fear that's like, oh, I'm out of my comfort zone, I can do this. You know, that fear that if I don't do this, you know, it's going to really matter to the planet or to my clients or to my family. So I'm going to do it. So I want resourceful fear around me. I don't want to be attached to other people's unresourceful fear. So for me personally, I've gone through this big process of working with my undefined spleen so that I don't get dominated by someone else's energy. I actually get to choose how I experience other people's energy. And the solar plexus is no different.
Absolutely. You know, I work with people who are empathic, and they're almost always, well, I would say the people who are, they're undefined solar plexus, you know, as that kind of classic empath where you feel other people's emotions as though they are your own. But they're, with the spleen or, you know, any, especially all of the centers in the body, whereas like the ones that are in the head, you catch other people's thoughts. And then
you can also get other people's. Yeah. So that's a big one. So I'm undefined in the head and the ajna. And the thing you've got to understand there is that you're actually picking up people's identity and belief systems and all their thinking. So you've got to have, it's important stuff not to get attached to.
Totally. And it is, so because I work with openness, even before I knew about human design, I was a specialist in openness and I didn't even know it. That's funny. And
I love that.
Yeah, I know, right? It just keeps proving itself. And so one of the things I've always said is just because you can feel it doesn't mean you should.
Yep. Yep. It's my mantra for all like sacral beings. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. But you're absolutely right. It's a choice. It's like everyone saying, walking around going, I need to protect my energy from blah, blah, blah. And I don't actually believe in that.
No, because fortification. I don't like protection. I like fortification.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because it presupposes that there's something dangerous out there, which means that your mind, that your brain is going to be on alert the whole time. You don't want your brain thinking that way. You know, one of the things for me is it's, like you say, it's fortification. For me, it's cleansing, 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 cleansing. You know, like I'll put a golden bubble and call in Archangel Michael. Like I'll do things like that, but I never think of it as protection.
Yeah.
I think of it as just cleaning, cleansing, like keeping the space safe and clear and all of those things. And then I make a big deal out of just cleansing my energy. And cleansing your energy, again, doesn't have to be this big, massive thing. For me, it could be sprays. It could be, you know, burning some incense. Say, I love incense. And I'll just correct that. And sage. And, you know, like I have a horse. And the moment I get on my beautiful dressage horse, I'm like, all of that energy disappears. Or I go swim in the ocean. So it doesn't even have to be difficult. Because one of the things I think people who are really into their human design experiment and really into spiritual growth, they actually forget that we have this supercomputer that is running our life between our ears, right? Mm-hmm. Our brain, our subconscious and unconscious mind, we cannot avoid it. So, you know, with human design, we talk about deconditioning. With behavioral coaching, we talk about deconditioning, but we're not deconditioning at all. We're reconditioning.
Yes.
We're healing from who we should be and aligning to who we are, but we still have the same mechanism doing most of the driving.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that if we're using language like, oh, I need to protect myself, or other people's energy make me feel blah, 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 then you're just creating challenge for yourself. You need to get the subconscious mind, the belief systems, the attitudes, the identity. You've got to get it in alignment with your design, and you've got to get it in alignment with abundance thinking, with possibility thinking, with growth mindset, all of those things, because then everything, and ultimately what I call your authentic success, just amplifies.
Mm-hmm. Abundance thinking is so important because we do have, first of all, our primitive mind or our ego mind has a negativity bias. So individually, we have a negativity bias that we're always working from, you know, that we're elevating from. And then of course our collective unconsciousness has a real negativity bummer bias. Yep. So we have to actually be on ourselves to be elevating our abundance mindset. And that means, like you mentioned earlier, it's all areas. You can't be abundant in one area and not in another. Abundance is whole. It is an expression of the universe, of creation. And just as like you can't get sick enough to make someone else well because it just drains the pool.
Yeah.
That's that we do have to be on that. And so, yes, human design can help us with that because it will help us to be in alignment with how we are an abundant being and how as a natural being, we are machines that create abundance.
Yeah. And I love that because I think my greatest lesson in abundance came from the gate 55, which is the gate of abundance, also known as the gate of spirit. Mm-hmm. And I always think of it as the metaphor I always use is imagine like a spirited child or a spirited horse.
Yeah.
They do not give a fat rat's what anyone else thinks. Like they don't care. They are so connected to their heart. They are joyful. They are determined. They are alive. They are authentic. That's abundance.
Yeah.
Like when you get to live your most authentic self, and in the gene keys, the 55, both the gift and the Siddhic state is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the freedom to be you, then you can be nothing but a magnet. You know, like you will magnetize to you whatever it is that you want to. You know, I know for me, financially speaking, that was a big player for me for many years trying to work it out. And I had healer after kinesiologist after clairvoyant tell me, you have no blocks. I don't know what you're talking about. There are no blocks to money. There are no blocks to money. And I'm like, well, why do I have no money? And it took me a really long time to understand that it wasn't the money. It was my authenticity. I was, you know, taking care of everyone else first. I was like, well, I'll take care of the kids while you get your career going. I'll take care of the kids and try and do this thing over here, or I'll take care of this and while you do that. And I was never being my authentic self, you know. Mm. A lot of my depression and panic disorder had a lot to do with me just not being me, me thinking that everybody else's needs were more important than mine and putting that first. And one of the greatest lessons I've learned with human design, because I was like, well, I'm going to just do the experiment. And as soon as I started sharing it on my podcast, there was a responsibility to the people who are listening. So I all of a sudden prioritized this authenticity piece. And, well, everything just happened. Like, I took my business from 35,000 to 350,000 in the first year, you know. Like, we hit seven figures in the first 2 years. This year we've again made seven figures. So at the end of the day, like, what have we been doing? Like, what's our financial strategy? Just be me. You know, like, and we're actually working with a consultant at the moment to really scale the business. And she just keeps saying, like, I don't know how you've had so much success. Like, I don't know how you've made so much money in this business. And Taylor and I just look at each other and go, strategy and authority, that's how we do it. You know, like, we just be ourselves, we be authentic. And I think that that's the power of human design. Mm-hmm. And I think going back to what you first said at the beginning, the trap of human design is when people think, well, this is who I have to be. This is what I have to do. And they're like, well, I'm a projector, therefore I have to sit in my hands, or I'm a reflector, so I'm like this kind of subtle thing that people can't work out. And they give their power away to human design. And the thing that I would love to say to all of you is the power lies within. You are powerful, and you get to be the one that brings all these energies to life. You get to be the one that lives this experience. So you can't be giving your power away to your design. You actually have to use it as this, wow, this literally is a treasure map into my soul. So what am I going to do about it?
Mm, I love it. That's so much good stuff there. You mentioned, I want to talk about the change, the 2027 and the solar plexus shift, because of something that we were talking about when we recorded me on your podcast, and because you mentioned your horse. And that is, you know, it's really incredible. Mammals, non-human mammals, they don't have an emotional center. They're only five-centered beings. But I don't know if you know this, but mammals that are not humans, they're all lunar. They're all ruled by the moon as well.
There you go. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in the mammalian chart. And I'm like, as we said on my podcast, I'm like, I'm all in because I have my horse's chart. So
yeah, I know, it's so great. Well, and the thing is, you know, I would love to, again, we have to do that because I've never had an actual chart of an animal, but the work that I've been doing, it's still, we do the same work. It's just intuitively then I communicate with the animal and find out what their purpose is and get it, you know, from the horse's mouth. But it would be really cool to also have the chart, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. I would love to hear that purpose. You know, I would actually love to hear that for both of my dogs as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a little generator, and I think our border collie is, I think he's maybe a projector, which is rare
I don't think they have projectors though, because they're only five-centered beings. But
I think okay. so, yeah, because we've had one before. So it's to do, you know, with the spleen. But I can be wrong. Like, you're the expert.
Well, I could be wrong. No, because I haven't had the opportunity to look up charts. I just know about it, and I'm really going on assumption because I know that we only got projectors after we became nine-centered beings. I mean, we didn't have projectors before. Well, we were seven-centered beings and they're five-centered beings. So anyway, I don't know.
We'll have to look into it because I'm pretty sure, because we've had reflectors as well. But one of the things that I think is fascinating is it's our little dog. So we've got a little long-haired dachshund and she keeps up with a border collie. So, you know, for me, I'm like, that makes sense because she's a generator, you know, like just this constant energy. And my horse is a generator as well. Yeah, so anyway, I'm so fascinated. I'd love to know their purpose. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you, because I was having an Akashic Records reading recently and they came in. Like, Alice and Bear, our dogs, they appeared in this reading, and Heather was like, this is weird. They don't really come in. They're like, wow, the energy of these animals, it's really like I've not experienced this before. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I always feel like they're little angels, like proper little angels. And I will often say, like, we've had some incredible dogs, like the most beautiful, incredible dogs ever. These two, they're even more incredible. It's just amazing. So, I'd love to know more about that from you.
makes a lot of sense too. I haven't even seen your whole chart just from talking to you. You have gate 19, you have gate 5. Those are all, I mean, the gate 19, of course, you know, is very much about the connection to the mammalian realm, but all realms. I mean, it's a synesthete and the one who synthesizes all of the realms and all and everything. And then, yeah, the 5 is also one of the, like I told you, the fairy gates or one of the nature gates. So yeah. It makes a lot of sense that they wanted to, that if they're with you, that they have that strong soul purpose to show up in that way and that you would have that connection with them. Yeah. But the thing about with the change is that with the 2027, that there is, you know, we're going to be fusing with the mammalian, the rest of the mammal world in a more significant way in the next iteration. And so we will, because they don't have emotional centers. I mean, not in their bodies, you know, they have emotions, but they don't have the emotional center that's actually located in their body. We're going to become purer, as you're talking about, and more natural is the better way to say it, more natural with it. And we're going to be able to take back. So we're going to become less in order to be able to bond correctly with the new background frequency. We're going to be more natural and we're going to have a deeper kinship. So I think that's what's happening. Part of what's happening with, that's what I see with the solar plexus. And that it doesn't matter if you're defined or undefined, it needs an upgrade. Way showers, those of us who have been doing this work, whether it's human design or before we knew about human design, have been receiving the upgrade for a while. We've been getting that upgrade little by little. Do you agree?
What I 100%. I mean, I think that's the, you know, like all of us listening to this podcast, listening to your podcast, there has been a part of us that we're so driven to work this thing out, whatever the thing is that we're focused on. And I know for me, like I'm very driven to navigate planet Earth to a happier place, both the human race and the planet herself. Mm-hmm. And I probably don't think like the main, well, I don't think like the mainstream. I do believe that planet Earth, like she's got this, you know, like she's going to recover. It's just whether or not
we
can make it through.
We're the virus.
Exactly. Right. And I think that's where we're at. Like the more we can almost like jump the gun and just be like, okay, well, who cares whether like climate change is happening or not? Obviously there's evidence to say there is, but who really gives a stuff? Because that's not even important. What's important is that we just all have to invest in Mother Earth. We all have to invest in each other. We have to be in this place where we have to be coming from our heart. For goodness sake, can we stop trying to, you know, overanalyze or think from our way through and reconnect to our heart? Because in our heart space, we're not going to hurt the other. Mm-hmm. From our heart, we're not going to harm the planet. In our heart, we're going to make choices that serve. And really, this is a lot of what this change is all about. Like I always remember, again, my mentor talking about, she sees the journey from the solar plexus to the will center to the G center is the evolution of emotion. Mm. You know, the solar plexus is all about those big, almost unresourceful emotions, as much as there's resourceful emotions as well, but it's like it's in that place where it's in control. It's the one that's driving the wave. It's the one, and you know, especially in Ra's speak, like he would say, and you have no choice, which I don't agree with. I really
choice business.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Because I know for me, I'm so much more emotionally balanced than I've ever been understanding my solar plexus, you know. It just means that when I hit the lows or the highs, I know that they're going to be there, but they're just not extreme, so as extreme. But the point is that then there's this journey up to the will center, which is the heart, also called the heart center. So this is like bringing those emotions to this place of, okay, well, how do I use my emotions to create this reality, you know? And this is like a resourceful ego. Again, it can be unresourceful ego as well, but it's like, okay, well, now from my heart, I can create my reality, you know, that's what the ego always wants to do. Mm-hmm. And then the next journey is up to the G center. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm in unconditional love. It doesn't actually matter about all the other stuff because now I'm just completely heart and soul driven. Now, it doesn't matter whether you have these things defined or undefined. Okay. It's more the lesson of the journey. And I think that's a lot of what's happening in this messy middle is this journey from being dominated by emotions, whether we repress them or indulge them, to this place of, okay, I'm going to feel my way through, which is manifestation, right? That's why we talk so much about manifestation. How do we manifest? The way we feel. We manifest what we feel, because then we create language around it. We focus our attention on it. We bring our energy to it. But ultimately, it's the way we feel. Is, you know, we manifest who we are, not what we want. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to this place where it's all unconditional love. And it doesn't mean that, like, there's nothingness. You know, I think sometimes we get a bit like it's nothingness or it's oneness, and it's all like this esoteric thing that we can't get our head around. It just means that we'll still be living a life like we're living, but we live it from an unconditional love place. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a very different experience. That's a very different world that we're creating. And I actually think that's a lot of what we're going through right now. And being a transformational coach, I understand transformation really well. And we're right on track, because the crescendo, as I call it, or the chaos comes right before the change.
Yes.
So we are exactly where we need to be. Everything is exactly how it's meant to be. Those of us that you know, we want to get to, in human design, we call it the new paradigm, or this new world that we're creating, or the age of Aquarius, whatever we want to call it. It's our job to maintain our focus on the potential, potential of who we are, how we can serve, what the planet could be like, the potential of, you know, like there's so many inventions and businesses and devices that are going to make the world better. So we have to be focusing our attention on these heart-centered businesses and products that are actually, you know, serving the planet. Like one of the products that I love, like the FLFE guys, they're amazing. But the other ones that I love is Analemma. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Analemma, but it's and I can include a link if you like, because I am an affiliate for them. Okay. But they, so their mission and the FLFE guys as well, I can give you their link, amazing, changed my life. Their missions are the same. And in both cases, they actually want to make themselves obsolete. They want the planet. So with Analemma, they actually want to return the Earth's water back to living, structured water. And like with the FLFE guys, they want to get the level of consciousness to a certain level that they don't need, that we don't need them to help everyone lift consciousness to a certain level. Yeah. And that's what we need to be looking for. That's what we need to be focusing on, these businesses that are like, we want to make ourselves obsolete, because if we're obsolete, that means that like planet Earth is well taken care of, the human race well taken care of, from a place of love. So, yeah, I'm not even sure where that came from.
Well, I love it.
It was a rant that I just felt I needed to share.
I love it. Yes, let's please make sure we put both of those links in the show notes. So everyone that, let's just say it's in the show notes, both of these. And I love that. It's funny because, you know, I'm a hypnotherapist, and I actually teach hypnotherapy too at the college from which I graduated. And I tell them, we have a really good problem that we always have to be getting new clients, because they don't need us anymore after about 6 to 10 sessions. And that's perfect. I love that. You know,
that's
we have to graduate our clients.
And that's exactly it. Like, that's the mindset we need to have. That's an abundance mindset. That's the whole, like, you know, I was trained at the school I went to, like, you need to be the answer to everything. They need to stay with you forever. And I'm like, hang on a second. No, they don't. Yeah. Like, my whole job is to empower someone.
Yes.
That's all I'm here to do, is to empower someone to really discover how powerful they are and live their authentic life, not to be dependent on me. That's that old paradigm. You know, that's the corporate world, the banking world, the medical world. They've created this dependence, and we're not dependent. We're not.
Right.
We're interdependent. You know, we have this capacity for us all to be just perfect as we are, and perfect, you know, together. So, I really believe in that.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Can you, I want to let you go, because again, I promise I wouldn't keep you 5 hours, but I want to hear more about HDX. I want everyone else to hear about HDX and anything else that you.
Oh my God, I'd love to talk about HDX. I love this. This is my baby. I mean, it's all my baby. My personality sun is the gate 37. So community, family, friendship is really everything to me. And HDX is the ultimate, you know, we call it a human design community, because predominantly that's what the topic is, but it's so much more than that. So you get all the content, like all of the lessons, two live classes with me, live Q&A sessions, and this is just a month. live Q&A sessions with me, with our coaches. We have like five coaches that are there answering questions. So we're ultimately, we set up the experiment for you, and then we're there for you throughout the entire experiment. And it gets even better than that, because I'm an MG, because I'm a Lion 3, because I'm a lifelong learner, and I actually want to partake in HDX as much as everyone else. We bring in all these other teachers. So next year we have people teaching, like, and these are 6-week programs. So they're whole live programs. We have marketing with human design. We have one of my dearest friends, a spiritual investor, Elizabeth Ralph, breaking down your wealth, like how to actually be wealthy. So money, investments, money mindset, all the stuff. Then we have Heather Ivany, who is just an incredible, like she gets you in touch with all your intuition, your clairs, what they are, how to access them, all the things. And then we actually also have Elijah Parker. So Elijah Parker is actually Richard Rudd's right-hand person for training, and he's doing the activation sequence, the Venus sequence, and the Pearl sequence inside HDX, only for HDX members. So you can't access it if you're not in there. So, and I'm so excited because I'm going to be on all the freaking programs. I'm going to be in there as a student as much as a teacher. And ultimately our goal is really, we want to take human design mainstream. We want it to be something that empowers people. We want our kids educated in alignment with it. I want my grandkids to go to school with their design and say, yep, this is the way you teach me. So ultimately that's what we're creating in HDX. It's just this beautiful environment and community to, transform your life.
So how is it structured? Is it month to month, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, you pay a year long, like a monthly thing for a year, or you can pay in full.
Okay.
So it's
a year long program basically. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it has all the access, like all the content. Yeah. So everything that you need when it comes to human design, it's already in there.
Yeah.
We also run these cool things called panels. Mm-hmm. Again, I always have to test the knowledge. That's part of who I am. I'm a Line 3. I've got to call out what doesn't work. So we have panels like real life manifestors or mental projectors or Line 3s or whatever it is. And we put them all on a panel and we test the knowledge in real life. So it's cool.
Awesome. Elizabeth Ralph is scheduled to come on my podcast in January.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh my God. She's epic.
I just noticed it yesterday, and I emailed, is it Amanda?
Yeah.
That connected you guys to me. And I've had a reading with Elijah Parker. So
yes.
I've had some time with Elijah. So
he's epic.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been on the podcast, and we had one of those things. Like, again, I think human design, and I really have to go because I'm just about to teach a class in HDX.
But
one of the things that I think is so beautiful for me is it's given me courage, you know, like being authentically myself. Like, I'm already pretty a courageous person, but it's gone next level. Like, we actually had this, one of my dear friends was teaching the Gene Keys in HDX. And this year when we said, okay, you're going to teach again this year, next year, she was like, oh my God, I so want to, but my body says no, you know, and she's a manifester, and she's like always going into this new direction or new thing. And I was like, okay, that's sweet. Well, it's open. Whenever you just inform me whenever you want to come and teach something. And I remember just turning to Taylor and going, what do you reckon we just ask Elijah Parker? I mean, really, he can just say no. And when he said yes, I was like, what? That's so good. And it's kind of like, well, I follow my design. That's what I do. I follow my strategy and authority. Like, I have an idea and I wait for a response and boom, I action it. I just courageously do it. So I think that's one of the other things with human design. It just gives us courage. It gives us courage to just be ourselves and to, you know, follow this weird thing called strategy and authority and just do it instead of thinking about it.
Ah, it's so good. And courage, of course, is the root word is ko, like heart. It's the heart bravery. So
that's
such a great way to wrap up an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. And we're going to talk, you know, separately too. But everyone, this is Emma Dunwoody. I really encourage you to check out HDX and everything else that she's doing, including the Human Design Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've had so much fun. I could talk to you all day.
But you got to do something else.
Yeah, I got to go teach a class.
I have to agree with Emma with all of the points that she mentioned, and that human design really is unparalleled in the way that it really shows us who we are and helps us, gives us permission, or helps to, for us to give ourselves permission rather, that we can be authentically ourselves, that we are all here as unique beings creating this unity, creating this ecology of joy, abundance, and peace. And that abundance is our birthright. Because I'll tell you this, for example, we talked about gene keys a little bit. And the gene key that is in my vocation is, it's gene key 3. And if you listen or read the book about gene keys by Richard Rudd, he talks about how life is cooperative, which can be seen by the fact that the single cell organism is cooperative. And actually, just by the pure logic that if life were not cooperative, it wouldn't have been going on this long. And so the sense that we have of being competitive or scarce, the scarcity or lack consciousness, lack awareness mindset that is out there, or the dog eat dog, that is false. And that is not the overarching truth of resonance, of love, of the universe, of what life is. And human design gives us a framework for us to realign, to fall back into alignment with the truth of who we really are. So if you haven't yet, I'm assuming you have, but you want to get your profile and just start working You should get your body graph. You can just Google it. You can find it anyway. You can go to Emma's website. There is a way to get your chart there. Work with your strategy and authority. That's all you need to do. Don't try to learn all of it. And if you have been tiptoeing around working in your experiment, playing in your experiment, then I just want to encourage you to do that and really and deeply embrace it. And because it's embracing you. It's embracing who you really are. And we really need you. So check the show notes once again for all of the links. You know, of course, Emma's HDX and the other things that were mentioned. I have that free gift of my mini course, Animal and Nature Intuitive Connection. It's really great. And also, I want to ask you once again to please leave a review for this podcast. That helps to amplify the intention of this work, as well as to amplify all of the healing and all of the voices and all of the beauty of this podcast and the people who come on. And it helps us to connect with one another. Share it with someone. Pretty much anyone it can benefit by this, because we talked about something that impacts all of us, which is our emotions and how beautiful they are. So that's what I have for you in this podcast, the incredible Emma Dunwoody. Check out her podcast. I'm going to be on it soon, or maybe already have, whenever you're listening to this. And do, you know, make sure that you come back for the next episode. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.